March has arrived and we are only weeks away from the big tournament. Yes, that tournament. Make sure to head to BetOnline and open an account today to get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest starting March 15th. That's right. I said $100,000 and March 15th. You don't need to be hardcore to get in on the action, and with multiple entries available, it's the season's best chance to cash in. And remember, the NBA and XFL are still going strong, so whatever your passion is, BetOnline is a place to be for all your betting needs. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Save up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code BLUEWIRE, that's all one word, for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Blue Wire.
You're listening to the Raider Cody Podcast, the official podcast of RaidersBeat.com.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
You're going to get everything I got. Everything I got. Give me everything you got. Sure. Do it for the man next to you.
Let's go. Let's go, Raiders on three. One, two, three. Let's go get this.
We talk about rebuilding. How do you rebuild? I don't think that Gruden came in to rebuild. I think he came to set his roster on fire.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Feels good to sit down and talk to you guys after pretty much our first event of the offseason. Since the Super Bowl, not much has gone on. There's just been a bunch of rumors going around. And I've been having a lot of fun myself this offseason, I will say. Man, getting into YouTube, working with video editing, doing different stuff like that, working on my little studio here, corner in the garage, which I plan on upgrading a little bit more in the future. But it's been fun to, you know, refresh myself and get back on the podcast, because I love my little podcast setup here to be able to sit down and talk some Raiders football with all you guys, with all the listeners. But here we are after the NFL Combine now wrapping up this weekend. I have a special guest coming on soon, our good friend Eddie Borsile. And honestly, now that we're getting into the swing of things, I'm really expecting another impact offseason from Mayock and Gruden, right? You know, making another handful of impact free agent acquisitions and having another great draft class, in my opinion. I think, you know, we have the tools to do it again. And I always talk about, you know, how excited I am for our 2019 draft class. I expect that big jump. You know, there's no sophomore slumps around here. We're making big jumps here through our players. And looking at what they dealt with last offseason, you know, going through the NFL Combine right now, they're preparing for the draft. Our rookies in 2019, they didn't even know who they were going to be playing for at this time last offseason. So now they get this entire time to prepare to play for a team, you know, that they've already planted their seed in. They understand the scheme, the coaching staff, the front office, everything has changed. If anything, we're upgrading because of the circumstances going to a new stadium and a new city. Fresh new start again. You know, honestly, it's just a better opportunity to make a huge leap. But with that said, I think you can also say the same now for Mike Mayock. As excited as we are for Mike Mayock, at this point last year, he's still trying to, you know, get a feel for the team. A team that he's not even really, they're not even really allowed to hardly meet with players, right? They're not at the facilities. They're not seeing these guys work together. Mayock came in last year and was pretty much only able to understand the team from what John Gruden told him and what he sees on paper. So now he knows this roster like the back of his hand. All the players talked about it last year, how involved he was in all the team meetings, in any player meetings. He was really involved with the players. So that's exciting. So, I mean, really, he knows every detail of the draft that he's preparing for. He knows the free agent hits and misses. He made it pretty clear in an interview during the combine that, you know, they could have did better at wide receiver. They could have did better at linebacker. And I think he understands those mistakes. He understands now the protocol at the NFL draft. He knows what to expect, making trades, everything. I mean, he made a handful of trades last year. Of course, nothing early. I think they wanted to early, but he knows all those details now. We have a very, very more upgraded Mike Mayock this offseason than what we did last year, honestly, for the impact that he made in such a short amount of time, not knowing much about the football team in his first year taking over the football team. We're looking at, guys, I'm telling you, I'm calling it now, 2020 Executive of the Year. It's going to be Mike Mayock. So, like I said, though, we got a lot of things to talk about here before we get our guest Eddie Borsile on. Actually, no, not a lot of things, just a few things. Let's go ahead and let's jump into it. First thing that's pretty exciting is the Raiders are trying to hold mini camp in Vegas. This will be about mid-June. And Mayock kind of has the idea that, you know, we don't want the oohs and ahs going on right before the season starts. They want to get these guys in as early as possible, mid-June. And it's cool because I think Gruden wants to open it up to the public if he can, something that we haven't done in the Oakland area. And shoot, I don't know if we've ever, or if it has been, it's been a long time, longer than I can remember. And that would be awesome, especially for the new fan base to get out there and watch this team play. Training camp's always fun. Mini camp's going to be great. Get those guys out there. Mid-June in Vegas. Be on the lookout for it, any of you Las Vegans. But while we're talking about Mike Mayock speaking at the Combine, he took a lot of answers, took a lot of questions, I guess, gave a lot of answers to the Derek Carr rumors. He showed a lot of love to Max Crosby and a lot of love to his rookie class. And like I said earlier, you know, he kind of made it clear that we had wide receiver and linebacker priorities this offseason, and that makes me excited. Obviously, that's probably who they paid a lot of attention to at the Combine. I'm sure that's who we're going to be paying a lot of attention to, at least linebacker-wise, I'm sure, in free agency, because there's a lot available. There's a lot of just defense available, period, which I plan on getting into free agency big time in my next episode. So if you guys are waiting for that, next episode, promise. And the last thing I want to talk about real quick before we get our guest Eddie in here is Henry Ruggs, man, coming out right in the Combine. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some Combine prospects right now with Eddie because he was there in Indianapolis. But my guy running a 4.27 40-yard dash was obviously huge. I gave some of my own takes and some of my guys that I felt were going to be huge impacts to the draft or have an ability to raise their ceiling at the Combine. I went in-depth a little bit more on my YouTube channel. If you guys haven't subscribed, make sure you get to that because I'm pumping out some videos, a lot of videos. They're going to correspond with my podcast, but it's all separate content. You're not going to hear things being repeated. I mean, maybe a little bit here and there, but hardly ever. It's all fresh new content. Podcast doesn't just get played on YouTube and then put into a podcast. This is all something separate. I'm trying to pump out as much as I possibly can. So just get on YouTube, search Raider Cody. You'll see my profile, subscribe, hit the notifications. I'll be going live this Saturday at 8:30. So if you want to get down in a live chat and talk with me, ask some questions, see what's going on this Saturday, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And yeah, like I said, you know, backtrack a few videos. I've covered a lot of stuff in there. So this is what I wanted to get to, buzz through some quick announcements, get through the main stuff. I ain't messing around anymore, guys. I'm going to get on this podcast. I'm going to start pumping out as much information as I possibly can in a quick way. I'm trying to balance YouTube, trying to balance a podcast. I got a lot of content coming through both, and I'm not going to get you, you know, a little mumbo jumbo. I'm not going to give you a bunch of small talk. We're just going to get straight into it. And right now, joining me, I'm going to bring him on here in just a second after this quick break. Good friend of ours. He started a new podcast. He's kind of teamed up into our website here, RaidersBeat.com. Kind of forming, I guess, some sort of a little podcast group. Wouldn't call it a network necessarily, but it's cool to have creators kind of team up, work together on things, find game plans, and bounce ideas off each other. And Eddie Bersili's been one of those guys on his Yards Per Attempt podcast, which we'll talk about more when we get him on here. But like I said, let's quit messing around. This guy was in Indianapolis. I got to pick his brain. So let's bring in our guest, Eddie Bersili. So joining me now, executive producer of the SiriusXM NFL radio station and East Coast Raider fan and host of the new podcast, Yards Per Attempt. And make sure you guys subscribe to that on any podcast platform. Get yourself some more Raiders content. This is my buddy Eddie, man. How are you doing?
Cody, it's great to be on with you again, man. It's been too long. I am great getting back from Indianapolis a couple days ago. The draft juices are freaking flowing through my body. I can't believe it's still, you know, 40 plus days away, but Indy was great during the week and I'm just ready to talk some ball, man.
There we go, man. So this is Eddie Bersili with the new podcast. Like I said, Yards Per Attempt. How's the new podcast been treating you?
It's good, man, to be honest. I didn't think, I kind of dipped my toes into it a couple years back and didn't really stay up with it, didn't know if it was something I was interested in. But, you know, as you know, Raider Nation's so strong, man. There's so many different opinions from the people. And it's cool. I mean, as we all know, there's nothing short of drama and storylines going on with this football team in any given day, man. So
yeah.
It's cool to, you know what it is? I say to people all the time, it's good to just get stuff off my chest, because if I didn't, I'd just roam around talking to myself about, random storylines during the day. So it's better to put it on this form so people could hear it, you know?
That's funny you say that, man. My wife's actually really excited that I've been doing this podcast and YouTube channel, because I don't rant to her and get all frustrated with her about stuff that's going on in Raiders news. I save it for the microphone, so she's all excited about that.
Yeah, man. It happens to me at work a lot. Obviously, you know, where I work, there's everybody connected with football. They're tired of hearing me talk about the Raiders all the time. So I'd rather put it to somewhere where Raider fans can grab it and we could talk about different issues here.
Yeah, some listeners that actually care. That's good. That's good. I'm glad you found that platform, man. So obviously you said you're just coming back from Indianapolis. How was the trip? I want to hear, man. Do you have like a ritual? Do you have a spot that you go to? Something that was different? Did you do anything different this trip?
Yeah, it was a little bit different, as we were talking off air a little bit. In years past, the workouts were during the day. The interviews for the players, for our purposes on Sirius XM NFL Radio, we talked to over 85 prospects. So talking to that many prospects. Ooh. It was kind of scattered throughout the day. We'd have different shows there. This year, the prospects were only available from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. The reason being, the NFL and the agents more so wanted the players to be fresher, meaning that they didn't want interviews with the media going until like 4 or 5 o'clock, and then they have to meet with teams right afterwards, and maybe they're a little tired. But the opposite effect happened. They were done at 11 a.m. with their interviews, and then they didn't get to work out until at night. So they had kind of... You know how it is when you're sitting around during the day, not really doing anything. So that hadn't, we don't know. The buzz around Indy was people weren't thrilled with the new format. So it was a little bit different this year in terms of timing-wise, early mornings, late nights. Indianapolis is really cool. I don't know if you've ever been to the city.
Nah,
it's a great place for a Super Bowl. The weather kind of sucks. It snowed on Wednesday, which kind of blew. But there's so much buzz around the city. Everybody's there, you know, for the most part for the combine. Everybody looks at it as kind of laid-back atmosphere where people are going to go sit down, have a drink, have dinner. It's a really cool spot. The spot that people always talk about and people have written about is Prime 47, which is one of the best steakhouses in Indy. And I'll tell you guys and I'll tell your listeners right now, it's no short of what people say and write about it. Number one, the food's amazing. The drinks are amazing. But the people are amazing. There's so many different NFL personnel people, media, coaches, GMs, owners. You know, the Cowboy, when I was there on Wednesday night, the Cowboy bus was parked right outside. So you have like different people mixing it up in different atmospheres. And that's why people really talk about the combine is like the place where all the rumors and all the stuff that happens before agency kind of starts, because everybody's in the same spot. Everybody gets to talk about the same stuff and see the same people. You walk around the streets and see the same people all the time. You bump into this person, to that person. But every place in Indianapolis, for the most part, you know, the Ram Brewery, I know it's a kind of a chain place. That's a great place. St. Elmo's is kind of the famous place that everybody goes to with the shrimp cocktail. Again, it's a who's who of NFL people. So really, dude, anywhere you go in Indianapolis during a week, you're going to see NFL people and you're going to talk about the NFL.
There we go. I was going to say, it does seem like a really nice football town. Hopefully they never move the combine from Indianapolis, because I always hear great stories from everyone that goes.
Yeah, that's the bad part, dude. If I was a betting man, I would bet within 5 years, maybe even 3 years, that the combine moves west. You know, they talk about it for years. You got to have the medical facilities and all those type of deals. I know cities like Houston have it, Seattle has it, and the NFL wants a bigger presence in L.A., you know, obviously with the Super Bowl there in a couple of years, but... I don't want it to leave Indy personally, like you said, but I don't think it's long for Indianapolis, to be honest.
That's crazy, man. So like you were saying earlier, the schedule change was definitely weird. I'm not used to getting off at 5 o'clock during the combine and seeing like all the main workouts live. Usually I'm watching replays at that time. But besides that, before I ask this next question, how many years have you gone to the combine?
This is actually my 10th combine in Indianapolis. Yeah, I know. I'm dating myself here. But when you talk to the other media members, too, it's kind of the same way. It, you know, early on, it's funny. And it was kind of my company. I'll give them a little rip here. It's kind of my company being a little cost efficient, if I want to put it that way. A couple of the younger guys back in the day, nine years ago, we used to drive from New York to Indianapolis to kind of save a little bit of money, which was ridiculous if you think about it, because it's almost an 11-hour drive. So it was kind of cool, like, as a young producer going down there, I was like, man, this is awesome. I can't wait to get down there. So the drive down there is kind of cool. And then on the way back, you're like, wow, this is the worst drive of my entire life. I can't believe we did this.
The buzz wore off.
So, yeah, it's my we fly now. We kind of do it the right way now. But early on, it was those kind of things. And, like, for a younger guy back in the day, like, not really being in the business, again, seeing those people out on the street, like, at the places that you're eating, at the bars, at Shake Shack at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like, this is the greatest place on earth. You know what I mean? It's why, it's why I kind of keep on going back every year.
That's awesome. So with 10 years of experience, that's pretty good. So this next question should be able to gauge pretty well. And I couldn't tell if it was just me, and maybe it was that new format of meaty people being able to walk around Indianapolis in the middle of the day for hours. But maybe it was just me. Did you feel like that there were more rumors swirling this season? Like, I felt like, I mean, not even just the Raiders, of course, which we're going to talk about, but just in general, like, I felt like it almost took away from actually focusing on the talent that was out there working out this year.
See, you know, I love you, dude. I'm not going to I'm kind of going to disagree with you in this aspect. I think there were less rumors.
Oh, okay.
And here's why. I think there were less rumors that you kind of heard about, like, say, on Twitter or through any type of social media platform, is because of the uncertainty with the CBA. No one knows what's going on with the CBA. So you if you look at the landscape right now, there hasn't been that many guys released. There hasn't been that many guys cut. There hasn't been any trades announced. There hasn't really been those huge leaks besides Tom Brady and all that kind of stuff that not just goes on in there. But I personally feel like it's less because teams are really waiting on to see if the players ratify this offer. I'm telling you, dude, next week, if, say, Wednesday, Thursday, they ratify this offer, you are going to see a flurry of activity. You are going to see the rumor mill really come down. Because like I mentioned before, the combine is the place where agents meet. And they talk about this tampering window in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's March 16th, and then the free agency says, that's BS, dude. The tampering window is the combine itself in Indianapolis because agents are meeting, players are meeting, everything like that's going on. So for me, you might be right. For my purposes, and maybe it's just because I worked 18-hour days and drank myself to death every single day, like, I just thought it was less because of the uncertainty with the CBA.
So maybe it is just on our end, and we're just hearing the quarterback rumors more, and that's probably all it is.
I think so, dude. That might be it.
Oh, man. So that explains probably what's been going on here. But while we're on the subject of it, Mike Mayock was found in many different places, whether it was the presser off to the side, whether it's John Gruden at a coffee shop. What did you think about, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and cite everything that they said. You know everything they said. I'm sure our listeners have heard it all. What did you think collectively about what they covered, whether that's our quarterback or just our team in general?
Yeah, I mean, and Mayock joined us as well, the same thing on SiriusXM and NFL Radio, and he's always gracious with his time when he does. I thought it was a controlled message. Look, I'm going to be honest with you guys here. John Gruden, and this is just my personal opinion, since the Khalil Mack trade, and you want to say the Amari Cooper trade, John Gruden has been anti-media. John Gruden has wanted to do the least amount of media obligations he has. And that's kind of staggering when you think about it. It was a former broadcaster. He loved everybody, this and that. So Gruden really, to talk this week, was like pulling teeth, as I can get it from a source that was that's very close. Gruden did not want to speak this week in Indianapolis. Every team has the option if they want to do a presser or not. Gruden did not want to do a presser. That's why he was at that little table with Vic and those guys. Mayock did a presser because Mayock loves it, and he loves going out there. So what I kind of took from it is, you know, the kind of controlled message. Hey, Derek is our quarterback. Derek did, you know, and Mayock kind of went into it a little more detail than John did, just because he's kind of more of an open speaker when it comes down to it. You know, last year Derek did things in second year of John Gruden's offense that not many quarterbacks can do. And he put up some stats that, you know, people on the outside, you know, kind of look at and say, wow, you know, when the season's going on and they're not doing that well and there's a four-game slide and all that kind of stuff, they're like, well, you know, he's not really playing well. The Raiders need to make a change. But when you kind of peel back the onion a little bit, and that's what kind of Mayock and Gruden were kind of saying, Derek had a really good year. Yeah, maybe the points, and I saw you tweet about this in the past, like maybe they weren't putting the points on the board as people would like, but the guy played the quarterback, and this is what people don't understand. Derek has played the kind of quarterback that he wants in his system. not everybody can play quarterback for John Gruden. Like, you can't just trot out, you know, I want to see, everybody says the rookies and all that kind of stuff. You can't just have any Joe Schmo go in there, and that's why Gruden's so tough on these guys, to go in there and say, hey, I'm really talented, I'm going to play. Gruden will chew that guy up and spit him out. And I'm not saying that, you know, Derek hasn't had his reservations about John. If it is, but I think from both of them and what they said in the Apples, and you know, we'll start on Carr, is the message, hey, Derek is our quarterback. Derek is going to be our quarterback, but we're going to evaluate every position. And I know people take that as, oh, my God, you know, they want somebody else. They're going to draft this
they
guy.
They said that last year. Tom Brady,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, my bad. They said that last year, but Mike said this to us, like kind of like off the air a little bit. It's like, I wouldn't be doing my job as a general manager if I wasn't evaluating every position. When the Patriots had Tom Brady in those years where, you know, they're winning Super Bowls in their dynasty, you know, Bill Belichick, Nick Casario, and Scott Pioli and those guys, that doesn't mean they weren't looking at other quarterbacks. They weren't looking at, you know, a guy to bring in to develop and all that kind of stuff. So I think people are just grasping at straws to kind of look and say, hey, you know, they need an upgrade. Derek's not the guy. You know, they said they had evaluated every position, so obviously they're looking for a quarterback. To me, that's just them doing their job and their due diligence. Now, could they come out and say, you know, Derek is our franchise guy. Yeah, you know, he's a real deal. Yeah, they can. But maybe to them, they feel like that pigeonholes them in free agency or the draft. You know, you don't know what's going on in the inner workings. So I just thought it was a controlled message by both. You know, it's what I expected them to say. I didn't expect them to come and say, like, you know, Derek's going to be traded or released or Derek's our franchise guy. It's kind of status quo for me.
Yeah. No, you know, Eddie, me, you, same guy. I mean, you're not an obnoxious fan like I am. You're a little bit more informed than I am. But I will say, to clap back on your comment earlier now, see, we're 15 minutes into a combine conversation, and we haven't talked about any players on the field yet. You notice that? See? That's how this is working right now.
It's amazing, dude. I mean, I did spend 8 minutes going over the best steakhouses in Indianapolis. I think, and you know, just from a content provider's part, like, this off season is really unprecedented. You know, you had Tom Brady, you have Drew Brees, you have Philip Rivers, you have Jameis and Mariota, you have Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you don't usually, like last year you had Nick Foles, and Nick Foles is the big prize, and it was kind of like, okay, here and there. Tannehill was a guy that was kicked out the door and all this kind of stuff. So I think this offseason is kind of like a polarizing offseason for people because, honestly, dude, you could have like 12 or 13 new starting quarterbacks in the NFL next year.
It's crazy.
That gets people's juices going. Plus, you have a really good quarterback draft, too. You have guys with the Tua storyline, and you have Joe Burrow coming out of nowhere, and Justin Herbert. I mean, Jalen Hurts. I mean, you have all these storylines. You know, you know this. I mean, as a fan, as somebody in the media, like, the quarterback position is what gets people going. And this offseason has got so much juice at the quarterback position. I think people are just ready to explode.
It's crazy, man. It's absolutely crazy. And now to close out our combine conversation here, Eddie, obviously, like you said, you talked to all these prospects. You got a feel for the entire environment. Obviously, player interviews, that's kind of like, I believe, the main thing about the combine. I want to know, as much as Mike Mayock talks about, you know, they want locker room guys. They want high character players. They delivered last year. You know, as much as we were all tired of hearing that, they delivered that last year. John Gruden kind of has that same attitude. Now, from players that you talk to, whether it's 2 or 10, I don't know how many you kind of got in mind that you have your eye on. Who are some players there at the combine that stood out to you that seemed like they could just be Raiders?
You know, it's funny you say this. And there's a couple guys. I'll give you a couple early round guys. To me, and here's the dynamic to me. Like, I'm a big, like, body language type of guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big, like, handshake. You know, look in the eye, you know, kind of give a crap type of guy that you kind of, you know, that's, again, that doesn't mean that the guy's a good guy or not, but when CeeDee Lamb walks up to our set, you could just tell right away he's got the body size, he's got the physicality that you want in a receiver. You know, he looks like DeAndre Hopkins when you look at him physically.
Yeah.
And then when you talk to him, he's got this, like, demeanor where he's not, like, a typical diva receiver. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a guy that is going to be like, me, you know, it's all about me. So I think CeeDee Lamb right away jumps off the page. And I'll be totally honest here. He's a guy that I kind of was looking for to be that type of guy.
Yeah.
But, like, on the opposite, you have a guy like T. Higgins, who we also interviewed, who was a good interview too. But then when it comes to working out, the guy says he's not going to work out because he's resting. He wants to rest that night. Like, you could just could you imagine John Gruden getting that information with T. Higgins, and he's like, I don't really want to work out in this draft. Like, you could tell that John Gruden would be like, get this guy off my team, right?
Yeah.
Now. Like, I can't have this. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So those two guys right away. Another guy that, you know, the biggest, I don't want to use a stupid word here, but conundrum for me is, you know, defense. We all need to know this team.
I agree.
Gonna,
yeah.
You know, impact. Get an impact defensive guy. Two guys, and I tweeted this earlier. I was going to say it to you now. Every question that someone asks me from now to the draft, I'm just going to answer with Isaiah Simmons, because the guy, like, he has everything that you could possibly want. The charisma from this kid, when you see him and you look in his eyes, is off the chart. The guy is a physical freaking freak, 4'3", and all that stuff that everybody knows. I know it's kind of a pipe dream, but, like, in this draft, I could see four tackles, and I don't look at the offensive linemen because I don't think the Raiders are in that group, especially early on, maybe in the top 90.
Same.
But I could see four offensive tackles going early in this draft, maybe even top 15. And the quarterbacks, as we all know, you could see four going to the top 15 easily. It's going to push these guys down the list. And I'm not saying Simmons gets to 12, but a guy like Derek Brown from Auburn, who is just a monster, like a big teddy bear type of dude, mm-hmm. that will just rip your head off. You know, what if a guy like that falls to 12? I really think in this draft, this team is going to target interior defensive line.
Ooh.
Because they need that push. They got Crosby, they got Klee, they got guys on the outside. So I don't know if that's a thing they'll target early on, but I could see them targeting a guy like Derek Brown from the nose tackle position, because this guy, when you sit down with him, first of all, he breaks your hand when you shake your hand.
Yeah.
And then you just look at the guy, and you could tell that he's an Aaron Donald type of guy. So, like, those are the little things that I kind of look at for some of the bigger prospects. Some of the intermediate prospects. You want to put a Raider, and I don't know if I talked about this with you the last time, but the receiver from Liberty, Antonio Gandy-Golden.
Okay,
yeah. Getting a guy like that in the fifth round. He was a Senior Bowl guy, big physical dude. I think he put up, like, 24 reps on the frickin' bench press. Great backstory. And the other guy, and I saw you tweeting about him too, is Chase Claypool.
Love it.
The kid from Canada, mm-hmm. from Notre Dame, who looks like frickin' Darren Waller when you see him. Dude. I swear to God, this guy has the body type. He's 240. He plays like a frickin' monster. I mean, for my purposes, I kind of looked at, like, those type of guys, like the receivers and kind of the need. And one more guy, like the mid-round type of guy, Troy Pride Jr. from Notre Dame, who, when we spoke to him, he gave us, like, 21 minutes. Like, he wouldn't shut up, but, like, in a good way. Like, great family guy, been through a car accident and all that kind of stuff. So, like, those are the type of guys that, like, I look at, and if I was a general manager, if they sat across from me, I'd be like, I want this guy on my football team.
I love it. Now, see, I feel like we're on the same page here, and I was going to close out with this, but this kind of, like, rolled me. I had one more question spark in my mind. Obviously, I feel like wide receiver, linebacker's been our biggest need. We heard Mike Mayock even address that. He felt like, you know, there were some mistakes maybe made personnel-wise on who he could have brought in a linebacker, who he could have brought in a wide receiver. And I think that's going to be mainly who we heavily target in the draft, depending on, you know, where we land in free agency. I know there's some free agent linebackers out there. And even though our defensive line upgraded, and even though we don't have that, you know, pegged as our number one need like we did last offseason, I definitely see a need there to improve our pass rush. Just like I've said, you know, we should model ourselves, our defense, after what the 49ers did. Maybe it wasn't good enough to win a Super Bowl, but, I mean, gosh, it's still one of the best defenses we've seen in a long time.
No doubt. And you saw, I mean, people kind of mocked them for years. I probably was, myself included. Are you going to take another defensive lineman in the first? I mean, how many guys could you have? But then when it all starts to click, you're like, oh, my God, like, these guys are all monsters up there. I agree with you, dude. Like, I think whether it's... See, my inkling is going to be that they're going to target defensive line, interior help, and free agency, a la like a Javon Hargrave from the Pittsburgh Steelers,
uh-huh.
Someone like that that is a young ascending player that could move the pocket. Let's be honest. Jonathan Hankins is a good player. Bohorse was my one personal favorite, is a good player. They don't have that depth. I mean, P.J. Hall, everybody, Mayock's kind of comments on the combine kind of say it all.
Yeah.
They're waiting for this guy. He was a second-round pick. They kind of give him a little kick in the pants. I just don't think he's going to develop into anything that's going to be like a dominant interior player. So I think they need to address that position. So I think my personal opinion is defensive tackle in free agency, They need at least, let's be honest here, they need one linebacker in free agency, maybe two, and a linebacker in the draft, because they just, the linebacking core has been a freaking sieve for 20 years. They need new blood. They need athleticism in that group. But here's my thing, and I'll throw it back to you a little bit.
Okay.
There's so many wide receivers in this draft.
Yeah.
So many. And I understand, like, Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb could be off the board. And then you're looking at a guy like Henry Ruggs, who is like Tyreek Hill without, like, being a criminal. And we could have that type of speed on our team. But do you take, you know what I mean? Do you take a receiver early when you know you can get quality late? Like, that's the biggest thing for me on this football team is, do you dress the defense and go interior pass rusher, whether it's a Kinlaw or a Brown, at 12, and then take a linebacker at 19, and then trade up in from the third to get a receiver in the second? You saw the guys, Deebo Samuel, you know, got Terry McLaurin from Washington in the second round last year, make impacts right away.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing. It's like, do you take the star receiver at 12, Lamb or Jeudy or Ruggs if he's there, address defense all along, or do you do two defensive players? And then I kind of like kick myself in the head and say, John Gruden coaches this football team. There's no way he's going to pick two defensive players in the first round. There's no way in hell, dude. He's going to pick someone on offense, either at 12 or 19 or a trade up.
I would say,
we know Gruden. You got to address the offense, dude.
He gave Paul two or three first round picks last year. Actually, well, I mean, pretty much three or four picks that were right there, whatever it was in the top 40 or whenever Mullen was picked. So there's no way that he's going to get the benefit of the doubt again this year. But I mean, I do agree with what you're saying, and especially given as much as wide receivers are probably going to trickle down in the second round. I mean, you can probably watch these guys kind of getting picked off the board. We have the capital, you know, this whatever, we have like back-to-back third rounders and one not too far after. We have the capital to trade back up into the second round if we needed to snag a guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like I love the aspect of Ruggs just because, again, the speed is game changing. But and I said on yards per attempt the last episode I have, I would like them to go buy a defense, sign two linebackers, sign interior pass rush, sign a corner or a safety or something like that, and then address the offense. So we'll get, you know, two receivers. I'm happy taking a receiver in the first and taking a receiver in the third, bolster that core, because that's another thing I keep on. Kind of re-energizing what Mayock said last week. His biggest takeaway from last year was the back end of the roster. The depth wasn't there. When we started getting injuries late in the season, we couldn't capitalize because the backup, you know, the depth was not there. So I think that he's really going to address that this year. You're going to see probably a lot of free agent guys, smaller guys that are not big, sexy guys. I'll give you one guy, Nick Vigil, the linebacker that's out there.
Yeah.
They're going to sign those type of players to maybe not be like impactful starters and be like, oh my God, in the fan base and be like, who the hell is this guy? But they're going to have him for depth, just in case those injuries happen, they don't fall off the map.
Yeah, we need that, especially given, I mean, our depth chart right now, linebacker's not looking too good going into 2020.
I want it all gone. Let's just get rid of everybody and just start it.
I love it, man. I love it. Eddie, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight. And it's easy talking to you, man, because I could just be like, hey, man, football, number 12, here, go, talk. And you just like, you just take it away, man. I love it. I love guests that can come on here and just talk football, man.
I appreciate you, dude. I mean, you do a lot for the fan base, man. You're just getting your party going here, man. I love your tweets. I love your podcast and YouTube channel, all that stuff. So you do a good job.
Hey, I appreciate that. I'm a little obnoxious sometimes, but hey, I enjoy what I do. And anyone here that's listening, make sure you guys subscribe to Eddie's podcast. He's had this thing rolling now a few months, and I really enjoy listening to it. I'm sure you guys will too. Look on your favorite podcast platform. Just search Yards Per Attempt. You'll see a little gray and black logo there, or you can listen right off of the Raiders Beat website, raidersbeat.com/yardsperattempt, and follow this guy on Twitter at Borsili. His timeline's not quite the dumpster fire mine is, but still definitely a good follow nonetheless.
I appreciate that, bro.
Hey, till the next time, Eddie. We'll talk to you later. Big, big shout out to Eddie Borsili for coming on the podcast again. I think this is the third time we've had him on. Always a pleasure talking to him. Definitely, easily one of my favorite guests. Glad to have grown a good friendship with him. A great Raider fan. Like I said before we hung up the phone, make sure you subscribe to that podcast and follow him on Twitter. Great dude. Knows a lot of great people. I love how he's so plugged in with the industry, given this NFL Sirius XM radio station that he's the executive producer of. That's huge. It's, you know, great to follow guys like that. So, Raider Nation, like I said, thanks for listening to this episode. going to start pumping these things out pretty quick as free agency is coming up. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel so you get all the content. Everything that I'm going to be busting out is going to be between this podcast and the YouTube channel. Subscribe. Raider Cody going live on Saturday. But other than that, until maybe next week, maybe the week after, we'll see who we get. I'll see you guys later.